Hello everyone, it's Michael.
And it's Ty.
And this is Super Metal World, your source for all things metal. We've got a great episode for you guys today. We are also pleased to announce that we are now available on Stitcher.
Yes.
That's a podcasting platform that is has apps available for both Android and iOS devices. So it should be easier than ever to get all of your amazing Super Metal World cravings and
into your ear holes.
Yeah, coming to you live from the internet. Anyway, you can find our previous episodes at www.supermetalworld.com and checking us out on iTunes and Stitcher, like I said before. Follow us on Instagram and SoundCloud and Facebook at Super Metal World Podcast. If you want to email us, you can do that at supermetalworld@gmail.com.
Especially if you want to be on the podcast or if you have any suggestions, please, guys, we would be so appreciative if you took the time on either, you know, iTunes or on Stitcher now to write a review, rate us, subscribe. It really helps get our name out there and spread the word of metal. So thank you.
So in today's episode, we have an interview with Lost Continent coming up, a band out of the East Coast of the United States, and we were really excited. And it was a fun interview. So let it run.
Of Mice and Men is releasing a new album called Defy. It's out January 19th, so coming out very soon.
Very soon.
They just released a new single off that track, and they actually covered Pink Floyd's Money. Just to remind you guys of how that song sounds, here is Pink Floyd's Money. So pretty iconic song there. And
classic.
Iconic riff. And Of Mice and Men did their own little take on it,
ooh,
which I will play right now. I think that riff really translates well into a metal song.
That was
actually
cool.
I think they did a really good job on the cover. It's nice to see that classic song be given some new life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one of the like first riffs I ever heard rock and roll style that I really dug into. And you know what, just thinking about it, like this is all subjective, but I feel like you don't see as many of those iconic simple riffs anymore because they've already been done, kind of. It's hard to,
yeah,
to make
like,
that happen.
I think we're in a time right now in like metal and like rock. It's like there's not so much like of that catchy riff, like intelligent sort of riff making. It's all a lot of just chords now, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's appropriate too because we're kind of in the age of the remake where everything, you know, from Hollywood movies to what have you, the old is new again and fresh and hip. So,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, cover songs have always been a thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's appropriate and they did a good job on it. So yeah, check that out and check out their album coming out January 19th.
I'm definitely going to be listening to
Money
by
Of Mice and Men.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll just talk for you. So, Machine Head released a new song. We just got to make quick mention of it. The song is Bastards, and it's quite a polarizing track, I suppose, politically. We're not going to share our thoughts on that track yet because we're actually reviewing the entire Machine Head album in all its entirety and in all its glory or not glory, depending on how it goes. And that'll be coming probably the first week in February. So look out for that future podcast.
Machine Head. Yep. Unfortunate news this week with the passing of the guitarist of Motorhead, Fast Eddie Clark. He died while being treated for pneumonia in a hospital. Just kind of sucks.
Yeah, now all the members of Motorhead are now deceased. So it's a bummer. The best thing we can think to do right now is play one of their songs and everybody out there, pour one out for these guys. I think that's a very metal title to a song.
Killed by Death.
Yeah, we didn't say that. That was Killed by Death by Motorhead. Really good song. We actually just discovered it today, and we're like, that's too metal of a title to not feature the guys. And, of course, we've all heard Ace of Spades, an iconic song. We wanted to do something a little different. So, anyway, rest in peace to Fast Eddie. Rest in peace to all the members of Motorhead. That brings us to our old gem of the week.
Yes. The old gem. The old gem.
The old gem.
I chose a song from my high school days growing up, first discovering metal. One of the early metal tracks that I listened to. This is the Soldier's Song by Demon Hunter. It's off the album The Triptych.
Probably one of their best.
Yeah, I would say so. So why don't you give it a play? Demon Hunter is so good at writing beautiful melodies.
I feel like they're often overlooked.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know,
they're a very solid band. So if you haven't heard of Demon Hunter, The Triptych is a good place to start. A lot of solid tracks on that album. One of my favorites off that album is Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid song. That brings us into our interview. So we interviewed the guys from Lost Continent. They're from Pennsylvania. Kind of cool because we were just West Coast interviewing that Riffs or GTFO, and now we're East Coast. We interviewed Kenton, who is the vocalist, Kevin, one of the guitarists, and Mike, who does the drums. And we will be playing a song at the end of the interview. But right now, we'll give you a little tease of that song. This is Emergence by Lost Continent. Just a tease. Ooh. Yep. Wait for after that interview and you can hear the whole track.
We're here with Lost Continent. How's it going, guys?
What's going on, man?
So we've got Lost Continent. Where are you guys from? You're from East Coast, right? Or East side of the United States?
Yeah, we're from Delaware originally, and now we're a little more scattered between Jersey and Philly and whatnot, but based out of Delaware.
Are those all pretty close together, or, I mean, we're Midwest, so we have no idea.
For the most part, we got Kenton's up in Jersey City, which is north part of Jersey, and then I'm in Philadelphia. Everybody else is kind of based down here in Newark or Wilmington,
Middletown.
Yeah, Middletown. Yeah. We're kind of in a straight line.
Yeah, no more than like 2 hours apart, though. So
that's nice. You know, at least if you're going to be split up, at least it's close.
Yeah,
no doubt.
So why don't you guys introduce yourselves so that everyone can learn your names?
All right, so I'm Kenton. I do vocals.
Kevin, I play guitar.
And I'm Mike, and I play drums.
So is it just three of you as the whole band of the Lost Continent?
We have two more, but our bassist is a pretty diehard Eagles fan, so...
Ah.
He had a priority, and then our other guitarist, Nick, couldn't make it either, so.
Hey, that's actually kind of an interesting connection, because we're based out of North Dakota. Carson Wentz played in North Dakota. I mean, I know he's not playing right now, he's injured, but.
Very true. Rest in peace, man.
So, it was meant to be. Can you guys tell us a little bit about Lost Continent? Like, what kind of... I mean, I know you don't like to pigeon yourselves in, but what kind of style of metal would you say you play or tend to write in? And how long have you been a band?
We started, I don't know,
like 2012.
Yeah. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has a bad jam a lot. And.
Yeah, we wrote one song and we were just kind of like, let's do this.
Yeah, we're real well. Pick some other guitarists and pick another guitarist up, and then we had one bassist for a while, a little older than us, but he was phenomenal.
He was actually my math teacher.
Oh, wow.
In college or high school?
No, this is in college. Yeah. He was a postdoc here at University of Delaware. He was my math teacher.
That's awesome.
And then he was our bass player for the next 2 years.
Yeah, and then he left, so we picked up one of our best friends, Cody, and I mean he's just been killing it for us ever since. So it was a nice smooth transition there. Yeah.
As for the genre, we're definitely a little progressive. We are on that side, and then we definitely add deathcore elements, hardcore. We have a classical metal song. We got a little Spanish metal. We do kind of everything.
Yeah, everybody's tastes are pretty diverse, I think. So it sort of all comes to the table when it comes to writing.
Do a lot of compromises.
Yeah, for sure.
So you mentioned tastes. We may as well just talk about them. What are your guys' tastes? Where do you draw inspiration? You can each answer this or answer it as a group. Doesn't matter to me.
Oh, boy. I mean, for me, Kenton, I would say, like, hardcore is a big one. And then lately, a lot of old school death metal, like sort of OG Swedish type shit. And then, can we curse on here? I didn't mean
that. Absolutely. Yeah. You can fucking curse all the fuck you want.
Good. Yeah, and then just a lot of random other shit, like hip-hop and funk and, you know, it's pretty much all over the place.
I like a lot of the, I guess, proggy bands, like Animals of Leaders, Between the Buried and Me. These are like people that I love.
Actually, yeah, BT Bam's a huge one is like for everybody.
All of our favorite bands. So we always have a band field trip out to their concerts when they come around.
Yeah.
Which band was that? Could you repeat that?
Between the Buried and Me.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, yep. Yeah, they're solid.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd say for me, I'm a huge fan of the Strain, the Acacia Strain. So I like that kind of deathcore vibe. But listening to a lot of Knock Loose, Periphery, and then, you know, throw in some, like, George Clinton.
Yeah, right.
all over the board.
Can you guys talk about your writing process? How do you you know, go about formulating those songs? Is there a main songwriter, or do you all kind of contribute? How does it work?
Generally, it's going to be me or the other guitarist, Nick, that kind of just come up with riffs. We have a very messy style, I guess, initially. It's like we kind of just write down all these riffs in Guitar Pro and store these away until they're kind of like masked up, and we'll like kind of base a song around parts of them or pieces together.
Sometimes we'll find a theme. If we really like a theme, we'll base a lot of our I guess choruses, we can say that.
Yeah, like the whole vibe of the song, I think. And then we sort of all bring it together. Like whenever we were able to get together, we just refine them and piece them together and
make sure it's cohesive first.
Since we're not in college anymore, it's kind of hard to have all these practices at the same time. So a lot of it is like distributed. Like we're working on these files at the same time, but over a chat or something.
Sure. Yeah, group.
Yeah, we got a group chat that sort of drives a ton of that stuff. Like, I mean, it's obviously hard to write when you can't, you know, through a chat if you can't hear the parts of the song, but we definitely drive a lot of creativity out of that, I think.
So obviously mostly what we're going to be talking about today is the Eskaton Cycle. Do you guys have anything new in the works as well? Because I know that album came out 2016. Are you working on anything right now?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, I want to say 4 or 5 new songs that are completed that we actually have been playing live.
Awesome.
That are halfway done. Yeah, probably like a good 7 or 8 more that are about halfway there. We're sort of just stockpiling them right now. Probably do an album or maybe an EP ahead of that. Or, you know, we're not really settled on that. Just kind of working on them and testing them out live and then take it from there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because we talked to a band earlier and they were saying there's a lot of value in actually trying these songs out live before you actually say, let's put that one on the album.
Yeah, definitely. You really need to figure out what vibes with a crowd. I mean, if you have a song that everybody's kind of standing there, looking like engaged, you really need to do a little trial and error process.
And I'm sure you can kind of tell like how the audience is responding and all that good stuff. So,
sure. Yeah, even the songs we have written, we go back and add little nuance here and there just to, you know, try to drive the live performance a little more.
Yeah.
So what's sort of like the songs you write are really technical and progressive in their like musicianship and composition. Do you guys have any like formal training or is this all self-taught?
I
went to Berkeley for a little bit up in Boston for performance. So I played drums up there trying to figure that out, learn my way around theory, and then threw that out the window when I got down to University of Delaware.
I actually took a degree class in high school. It was an AP music theory class. That was probably one of my biggest accomplishments for like being a guitar player. I learned a lot out of that, like went through the whole classical stuff.
Kevin, are you doing a lot of the leads that I'm hearing on that Eskaton Cycle EP, or are you doing the rhythm?
Doing about half. Me and Nick kind of trade off of them.
Okay, sure.
And that's one of the really cool things, in my opinion. You know, just getting to watch these guys shred it every time we get together, and like they both just absolutely destroy. I mean, everybody. I feel so like I have absolutely no formal training in anything whatsoever. I just fucking scream. So you know, getting to watch these guys is a privilege, man.
Yeah, definitely. No, I was impressed. That's something that, like,
so nice.
Really drew me to the band was the leads are strong and they're unique. You know, they're not like trying to be super hooky like some of the more kind of, you know, the popular metal bands. Sometimes they have like those pop sounding hooks. These leads are just kind of in your face and not, you know, not trying to be catchy really, but they are catchy. I don't know. It's weird.
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's sort of a conscious effort to, in a way, I mean, we write the stuff that we like, but we all, you know, listening to other music, we hear those parts and we're like, oh, you know, this is like what a popular band is doing. Like, let's do our own thing sort of situation.
Yeah, there's definitely trends that I guess we're trying to not like actively trying to avoid, but there's definitely,
you got to set yourself apart somehow. Yeah. So
what sort of trends do you mean?
I mean, there's like, you were talking about the choruses when, kind of bring in some melodic chords, and then there's the drummer's just doing normal snare on the three, and then he's some kicks. So
yeah, we try to keep it interesting.
Yeah,
right. Not doing like a Def Leppard type chorus. So how's the metal scene? Kind of get off topic here, but how's the metal scene around your guys' area?
I think, I mean, there's a lot of local bands that are really, really into it. I think that the coordination is sort of lacking a little bit, and the promotion side of it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of strong promotion in the area. We have a couple guys that we work with. But I think that's what's lacking. It's definitely not a lack of talent or bands. It's getting people to come out to shows.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Is it pretty close? Do you get along with all these other bands too and support each other, or do you guys kind of do your own thing?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've made a lot of close friends through playing shows. We have a couple bands. I'll shout them out. Born with Open Eyes, Temple of Allura, Those Greasy Bastards. Those guys are all real cool guys, good friends of ours that we've met playing. So, you know, we try to set stuff up with them as often as we can.
It's fun to play shows with bands that you're friends with.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, and then we try to bring in some new ones, or, you know, it's a show that we're putting on. I try to recommend bands that I hear that I, you know, are local to the promoters. Try to make some new friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about, I think. Sort of making connections with people, like, musically or otherwise.
So how frequently do you guys play shows? Are you, like, in writing mode now, or do you still try to keep shows up? What's your situation there?
Kind of balance that, I think. I wouldn't say we sporadically play shows, but we definitely try and keep at least like kind of once a month.
Yeah,
once a month or two times a month. You know, if we can do that. Writing is constant. That's just, we're always doing that through the Groovy, through sending files back and forth through Dropbox, just trying to find that, but we're kind of balanced when it comes to playing shows and writing.
Now, is everything you guys do kind of conceptual? Because the Eschaton cycle is pretty conceptual from what I've seen. You know, each song kind of leads into another. Lyrics are all connected.
Right. It really is. We're kind of taking a break from that for the next album here. We actually do an album. I think instead of like having this overall theme, we're having some smaller themes. Like a lot of the songs are just very different, and we're having each song kind of be its own style for a lot of them, like the Spanish song, the whatever song.
Yeah, it's definitely more on a song by song basis now. Not that we won't ever go back to that, but you know, it was a grind.
I love doing the concept stuff. That's my favorite.
For sure,
it's a creative outlet when you come up with those themes. You're able to pop out like a half hour's worth of music just going on one style. Really cool.
Yeah, definitely. So do you guys just kind of play in your area, or how far do you travel outside of where you're at?
What's the farthest we've gone? We've gone down through Philly, in New Jersey.
Yeah, we've been to northern New Jersey. We played in Maryland.
Like,
so
the
sort
farthest
of like,
would be Shredfest, all the way down.
Like the southern tip of Maryland is sort of on
right,
the coast.
Yeah,
so not too far, really.
Kind of stay in our little northeast nook.
For sure. Now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We definitely want to branch. We need to get up to New York.
I think New York City. New York City. Further south, like Baltimore, Virginia, yeah, North Carolina.
And can you, I mean, we've been kind of just hinting at it, but just so our listeners know, let's talk about the Eskaton Cycle. Can you tell us the concept behind that album? What's it, what it's about? Maybe anything you really, any details you want to tell us.
So the album is in its name, meaning the beginning and end of the universe. It's kind of like on a cycle here, and the album perfectly kind of loops back around from the intro to outro piano, even so that you can just loop it if you wanted to. The whole thing is supposed to be the first song, Emergence, is going to be kind of the creation of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second song, Eden, is the built up of civilization and then kind of like the downfall of that.
With extinction, yeah.
And then extinction is everything going to shit.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I gotta say that I really like the whole thing. Eden's my favorite, though. I'm not gonna lie. Eden's my favorite. I dig that song a lot.
We hear that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I just like the juxtaposition between, you know, that kind of that acoustic lick you got at the beginning, and then when you guys come in and bring the electric elements, I don't know. It just... It goes. First, they play off each other really well.
That first riff in Eden is one of my personal favorites that we've ever written. It's sort of like classic metalcore, sort of melodic, but a breakdown sort of thing. Like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. That's killer.
And plus, there's like a bass solo in there too, isn't there?
There is. Yes.
Ooh, that bass solo is amazing.
Yeah, a little sexy bass solo, kind of. Well, maybe not Orion vibe, but it kind of reminded me. You know, it's like a longer song, and mm-hmm. I liked it. I dug it.
Yeah, thank you.
So speaking of, since that album's kind of more of a concept, was there any specific, I know you mentioned some, but was there any specific concept albums that you were thinking of when you wrote that song? Or maybe just to make it even easier, are there any concept albums that are kind of up there that you guys would recommend?
Concept albums, I love a lot of the ones by Mary to Me and
Contortionist. Yeah, I think those are the two huge inspirations for that. I mean, we
Mastodon too.
Yeah, Mastodon as well. Those are bands that we love and, you know, look up to as far as their talent level. So that was definitely something we kind of wanted to try our hand at. Yeah,
the Colors, Great Mr. X.
Yeah.
A little bit of the Parallax when we put the organ and the tube.
That Parallax 2 between the Buried and Me is like amazing in my mind. If people haven't heard that, do yourself a favor.
Yeah. Also, even Hypersleep Dialogues.
Every
Contortionist album.
Yeah. Pick any Contortionist album.
Yeah, we'll have to check some of that out. Now, you recorded this before Emperor of Sand, but that's a solid. By Mastodon,
oh, yeah.
That's
like, a solid concept album. Concept albums, yeah.
That one is sick.
Mm-hmm. No, it's hard to, I mean, just the idea of like all that goes into making a concept and seeing that concept to fruition, and then also like making that concept not lame or not suck. I mean, I just imagine it's a lot of stress just to write something and keep it all connected.
Yeah, it was a grind, but we're all super proud of it.
No, I think you guys did a good job. Definitely.
Yeah.
Was it based off of, because when I was doing research on this, I found a book by, what was his name? John C. Wright. Did you guys read that series or that?
What was it called?
It's called The
Eschaton Sequence.
No, never heard of it.
It's like a trilogy.
Yeah, it's like a series of books that kind of talks about, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read it. But I'm assuming there's some kind of story about man's extinction and maybe how we try to avoid it or leave Earth or something. I don't know. It seemed kind of sci-fi.
Yeah, but it's a trilogy.
Oh my god! Wow, we gotta look into that. Oh no, I've actually never heard of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think there. How many? Michael's looking it up here. How many novels are in that?
It's either three books or it could be six books.
Yeah, I'm seeing like there's like maybe an original trilogy and now count to the Eschaton sequence is
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Oh, we didn't rip your book.
Yeah, I swear.
Well, hey, you didn't the names aren't the same. He's the Eschaton sequence, you're the Eschaton cycle. True. So
true.
That's funny. No, we were just Googling Eschaton. We're like, what does that mean? And then his name came across, so I was like, I wonder if they're connected, but
that's funny. It sounds like the theme's sort of the same.
Yeah, very similar.
If you're into sci-fi, maybe.
Yeah, check him out.
Check him out.
Shouts to John C. Wright. Anyway, we know he's listening. Can you guys tell us about the balance between the metals and the real life?
Yeah, I work full-time as a graphic designer, but I work for what I feel like is a sick company, and they, you know, they all know that I'm in a death metal band. They buy our t-shirts and shit, so, you know, if I'm like, I have a show, I'm going down to practice, they're super accommodating.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm a PhD student, and I'm working at Army Research Lab as an intern research scientist. And so I work a lot, I'm pretty tired when I come home, so usually my practice fits into before bedtime. That's most of it now.
I'm a little writer at this news outlet in Philly, but metal is, I don't know, I'm just always, there's always metal going on. I'm listening to metal in the office, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Even at work or in the car on the way to work, it's like there's always, metal's always present in some way.
Just always got a plan.
And what are your guys' goals with Lost Continent? Like, what's your end game? What would you like to see out of it?
To rule the world.
I hear you.
And then go extinct. Yeah.
Maybe, let's put it this way. What's your 5-year plan? What's your 5-year plan? where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I think it would be sick if we could have an album pressed on vinyl. Like, to me, that would be awesome. And a tour, even if it's like a small East Coast one, that's definitely something I want to be able to say that I've done.
Now, are there any larger metal bands that have kind of came to your area and some of the local bands have opened for them? Has that happened?
Yeah. The scene used to be like a little stronger around here, I think.
We actually got a chance to play with
Revocation, and even those guys were opening for 3 Inches of Blood and Death Angel, so we were on that show, which was sick.
We played with Gorguts, which was so crazy.
That show was insane.
Brain Tentacles as well.
Yeah, we played with another band that same show called Brain Tentacles. That's like a death jazz
to some synth board, and this guy's he just
blows it into the microphone.
But it's like crazy effects.
It's like drum, bass, and horn.
Mm-hmm.
That's
interesting.
I would check that out for sure. Yeah. It's wild.
Is that an American band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brain Tentacles.
Drummer is in another band too. Damn, I'm not going to remember it now, but... Yeah, it'll come to me later, maybe, but...
So how does that work? Do you guys, like, say you'd like to be in the rotation for opening for these bands, or does somebody reach out to you? I've always wondered that.
For those, I just...
usually pursue them.
Yeah, I dig and dig on Facebook. Like, I'll find a show and then try to find who's promoting it. And then dig further and try to find out who the actual guy is or girl behind that and just reach out to them directly. Send them a link to the music and, you know, hope it works out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of direct networking just
definitely.
On the ground. I
mean, it's huge for that.
It's really all about, it's all about who you know, I would say.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, even through this podcast, like, I've said this before, but we thought right away, we're like, man, it's going to be hard to find underground metal bands that are actually talented. But then, you know what? It actually was easy to find.
Yeah, there's so much out there.
There's so much talent out there. It's just, you have to get lucky, and it's like who you know, and it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely the struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to just keep grinding. Because, I mean, I remember I showed Michael you guys because I tried to get a hold of you earlier, but, you know, schedules didn't coordinate until after all the holidays. And we came back to you guys, and I was like, you should listen to these guys. It's like, I've had this EP on repeat for, like, all day, you know? Like, it's solid.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, we definitely appreciate what you guys are doing and super talented. Yeah,
you guys reached out.
Yeah. Now, kind of a final question I like to ask. What kind of moment or when in your life did you guys first get introduced to metal? What made you a metalhead?
Oh, man. For me, I think it was like emo into screamo, like Under Oath.
Yep.
For me, did it. And then I, you know, dug through that record label and found like Norma Jean and The Chariot and got heavier and heavier. And from there, it was just, that was it. I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I was really big on classic rock and stuff because my parents, they basically forced me to be a fan. And then I started listening, and a lot of like rap because of my sister would force that on me. And I think it was really like Linkin Park after that. And, like,
yeah. And then, yeah, Linkin Park was definitely probably huge for a ton of people.
Yeah, actually. And then I just started listening to a lot of metal because that was kind of like my intro to screaming music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I listened to Rage Against the Machine. I listened to Tool, A Perfect Circle. Like, I had that rock vibe, and then somebody showed me Entombment of a Machine by Job for a Cowboy, and then I went down the rabbit hole.
0 to 6.
Yeah, it's funny how everybody like has to ease their way. It's like a
no one just listens to metal right away.
Yeah, it's more rare to just jump straight into like scream. You have to like first it's Linkin Park or first it's this, then it's that. I mean, that's what most people have said to us. It's kind of funny.
Think heavier.
Yeah, right? And now it's Infinite Annihilator.
Yeah,
it's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Or After the Barrel, or when they do the 9-string songs.
Mm-hmm.
Something. I need a 13-string.
Yeah.
Not heavy enough.
Right. You hit the bottom of the well.
I need like, the brown note. Feed me the brown
note. So, before we take off here, guys, why don't you let us know where we can find your music and where we can, where anyone who's listening can get in contact with you or learn more about Lost Continent?
For sure. So, we're on Facebook, Lost Continent. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch with us, promoters, if you're listening in all the way in Delaware. We're on Instagram. I think it's Lost Continent DE. And then as far as the music goes, we're on Spotify and Bandcamp. We have, I think, one extra song that's up on Bandcamp that you can't find on Spotify. It's lostcontinent.bandcamp.com. And, you know, listeners, keep your ears peeled because there's more in the works.
Very exciting.
Any other parting words, any shout outs, anything like that?
Yeah. Shout out Born With Open Eyes, Temple of Allura, those Grave Greasy Lord. Bastards, Grave Lord.
All right. All right. Thanks guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Sure. Man. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
All right. Take care.
Later.
See ya. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to check us out at www.supermetalworld.com. We are also available on Stitcher and on iTunes for your listening pleasure.
We're also available on all your major social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram.
Twitter.
Yes, thank you, Twitter. Now we'll take you over to the full track, Emergence by Lost Continent. Horns High.
Horns High.